Take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. As I've been tagging on to the end of Edwards' Major Prophet series, I preached the first one from Isaiah and my favorite chapter in Isaiah. And that was Isaiah 6 on conviction, Isaiah's conviction. Last week we looked at Lamentation 3 from the life of Jeremiah and saw Jeremiah's confession. And tonight we find Ezekiel's calling here in Ezekiel 33. We'll just read the first 9 verses of the passage of Scripture tonight. And then we'll get into the preaching together. The Bible says, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul." Father, help us tonight to see the watchman, the calling of Ezekiel, and what you called him to and what you called him for. I pray this evening, Lord, as we come to this man and this chapter in particular, we would understand and know who we are. Watchmen on the wall. Help us to understand that this evening. Bless, I pray, in this hour and this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. From the book of Ezekiel, there are countless chapters that I would love to teach. It is, like Edward said, probably a favorite to any good preacher or any good Bible student. Particularly when you get to chapters 41 and following, there's a whole lot of heaven that you're going to find in there, a lot of lessons for the spiritual context. One of my other favorite chapters is chapter 34 that comes right after this. The faithless shepherds of Israel, those false shepherds, and what they look like and who they are. It is a picture-perfect example of most of your television and YouTube specialists today that call themselves preachers. It is wholly in Ezekiel 34. But it's 33 that I love the most. Yes, there are chapters about dry bones coming to life. And yes, there are chapters about wading out into the water, ankle and thigh, knee and thigh deep. But it is this chapter that tells me as a pastor what my calling is. And so for me, it's one of my favorite chapters and certainly the favorite chapter in the book of Ezekiel. If this chapter sounds familiar to you great Ezekielites out there, it's because it sounds eerily similar to chapters 3 and chapter 18. If you don't believe me, take your Bibles and turn back to chapter 3 of Ezekiel. And we'll see through the course of the study tonight that it sounds very much like chapter 3 and chapter number 18. In Ezekiel 3, beginning in verse number 16, the Bible says this, "And it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied..." Oop, I'm in Jeremiah. That would be good. I was like, that does not sound like what I wanted it to sound like. There it is. This looks more familiar. Verse number 16, it says, "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchmen under the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked of his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. He goes on to talk more about the righteous man and the stumbling block that is there that we'll talk about in just a few moments later in chapter 33. But we get the idea. It sounds similar. Go ahead to chapter number 18. And when you get there, look in verse number 23. This is going to sound identical to what we're going to read in just a few moments in verses 10 and 11 in the passage here in Ezekiel 33. Identical words. Verse 23 says this, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespasses that he hath trespassed, in his sins that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive." Now again, understand, we are living not in this age and reading in this, in the age of grace. This is under the law. And so there was a promise of long, bountiful, fruitful life to those who obeyed the law of Moses. Verse 28, "Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die." Down in verse number 30, in the middle of the verse, it says, "Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." Friend, when God repeats something, that repeated thing is very, very important. So what is repeated? The warning to the people to repent is repeated over and again in Ezekiel. In this chapter 33, Ezekiel set forth as the watchman to sound the trumpet as trouble approaches. Trouble has already found Judah and Israel in Isaiah and Jeremiah. Their calamity is well documented, but Ezekiel's message is very relevant for his work and the work of other prophets, other proclaimers, and other preachers of the good news that I am this evening. Will you warn my people of their sins? Will you point out where and when they err from the truth? This is what a watchman for God is supposed to do. We find Ezekiel's calling and the calling of all true servants of God in this wonderful chapter 33 of Ezekiel. We are called to watch for the souls of men. We begin then tonight in our study with the role of the watchman. The role of the watchman. In verses 1 through 7 that we read this evening, if the watchman does his part and the people fail to take warning, we are told that he has delivered his own soul, and the people themselves will be responsible for their own destruction. However, if he fails to give the warning and the people are taken unawares and destroyed by the enemy, the watchman will be held responsible. The blood of the inhabitants of the city literally would be upon him. In Ezekiel's day, the walled or fenced cities, as they would be called, would have a sentinel set at each of the four corners of the wall, looking in the direction of the compass so that they could see the enemy coming. If one of them failed to do their job, that man, his family, including his children, and his parents, if they were still alive, were all executed if they failed to warn that the city was coming. Now, I'm going to be very careful in the next words that I say, but in the spiritual sense, pastors are set on the wall, most importantly, to watch for the trouble that could come to God's flock, to the city of the inhabitants of His people. I know far too many pastors who are far too afraid to sound the trumpet at trouble that is entering into the city, and they end up losing their own homes. The principle of the Old Testament in Ezekiel is still good for the New Testament in the church today. Amen. As we understand this, then, the role of the watchman is very important. It was letter A in Ezekiel's role. He was involved in confirming God's message. In verses 1 and 2, we find that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. You can look down in verses 23, 4, and 5. It says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. In verse 25, it says, wherefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord. God was pointing out what the dangers were, and Ezekiel the watchman was to turn and tell the people what the dangers are. He is to confirm God's message. Ezekiel was a prophet to the captives of Babylon, not to the royalty like Daniel is, as we'll see next week. The royalty was taken into the city, into Babylon itself, and he and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not live high on the hog, for they were Jewish, they didn't eat the king's meat, but they certainly lived free in that city of Babylon. This is not the case for Ezekiel. He's living down by the river Chebar, or Kibar, as people call it, living in poverty and in squalor. Very similar, by the way, to how the Israelites, or the children of Israel, lived in Egypt when Moses led them out. They were probably mucking and making bricks by the riverside. That's their job. That's what slaves did. This was his combined audience. They knew full well that the prophets and the priests had not been heeded. And some of the prophets and the priests had not been good watchmen. And here he is delivering these messages to that group of people. They were the workers, the ones who were wasting away in servitude for their sinfulness. His confirmation comes in declaring what those in a woeful state can do to be right with God again. That is the role of a modern New Testament Bible-believing preacher of God. I am to tell you how you in a woeful state can live with God in a wonderful state. By the way, Ezekiel was living in a woeful state, and he too wanted to live in a wonderful state. Ezekiel's no better than those he's warning. He's the same. He's down there with them. Ezekiel's ministry answers the question, what is God's remedy for my present calamity? And that's what a watchman does. Hey, you probably want to shut the gate. That's a trouble to some horde that is coming towards us. Let's not let them in and ruin the city. Beyond confirming God's message, his role was, letter B, in confronting wickedness. That's what we find in verse number 8. Say unto the wicked, O wicked man. We do not have a lot of preachers today that will point out to people, believers or not, what wickedness actually looks like. I can tell you, there's not a lot of fun days being a watchman. You know, the watchman never said, hey, a lovely group of sheep is coming up the path. His only job was, we're all going to die. Shut the gate. I mean, that was not like the coolest job. Nobody signed up to say, hey, you know what? That watchman guy, I really like him. He always has positive news. No, it was, we're going to die. Shut the gate. There's a problem coming. His job was to confront wickedness. Go back and look in chapter 3, if you will. I meant to put this in my notes and I forgot, so you can travel back in the Bible with me to Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 9. What is the demeanor of a watchman What was the calling of Ezekiel, and what kind of character did he have to have? Ezekiel 3:9 is wonderful. It's in the same chapter, as you'll recall, of him being called a watchman. And a watchman has to have this kind of face. As an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. What does confronting wickedness look like? Usually, those who are wicked, and by the way, I don't think I'm preaching to any tonight on a Wednesday evening message, but usually confronting wickedness does not come with, hey, I'm just here to tell you about a friend of mine. His name is Jesus. That's usually not what it looks like when you're confronting wickedness. In confronting wickedness, you have to have a set and solidly stern face. It has to be as adamant. There have been times in counseling in my office where people who I know and I love will be sitting across from me, and they will note and they will say, Pastor, you're not smiling as much as you usually do. And I will say something usually like this, if you will stop sinning as much as you do, I will start smiling more like you know. You say, well, that sounds like a jerk move. It sounds like someone whose face must be set as an adamant. The idea of cozying up to sinfulness is foreign to God and foreign to the revelation of His Scriptures. The watchman needs to set themselves against sin, not embrace more of it. There are a lot of people today who hold the title of pastor, male and female, who do not know how to be a watchman at all. And this chapter has long been a favorite to me because it just reminds me, no, Kyle, you're not being a jerk. You're doing the calling that God has given to you. And sometimes it's an unpleasant thing. By the way, in confronting wickedness in the New Testament age, since we're all kings and priests together, this passage is as true for pastors as it is for every parishioner in this place. Every person here has to understand that we must confront and hate wickedness. If we find it in our own lives as a good watchman and the Spirit of God's help, we root it out, get it out quickly. If we see it in others' lives, we lovingly confront and have conversations about it. By the way, on the latter, we come to letter C, and that is this. The role of the watchman is convicting waywardness. The watchman would look on both sides of the wall. If there was trouble outside, they would look on the inside and make sure that somebody wasn't walking outside. Look what verses 10 and 12. We'll go on a little bit more in this chapter now in Ezekiel 33. The Bible says, therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? That is a statement of their present condition. They were pining away down by the river Kibar. Verse 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? You didn't have to, is the implication from God's message here. But I will not change who I am, God says. You must change who you are. Amen. Verse 12, therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. We find here the convicting of waywardness that God has through the watchman's ministry. The message here is to those who have a relationship with God, who are departing from that relationship, from that close or nearness of fellowship. The desire from God is that they would repent from any wayward drift from what God says is absolutely true. The wicked are wicked, yes. And the righteous, he compels them, ought to be righteous. That is our calling. The role of the watchman is to confirm, to confront, and to convict. That's what a pastor ought to do in your life. If you leave Central Kentucky and you go to some other place, you ought to always find a church where Sunday after Sunday, service after service, you are confronted and convicted of sin, because a pastor will stand and not tell you a story but confirm God's word to you. Amen. That's the pastor's calling. The role of the watchman gives way to the reality for the watchman. Verse number 9 again says, "Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, you have delivered your soul," he concludes in verse 9. This is, of course, not a matter of the redemption of by the blood of Jesus Christ, such as we have in this present dispensation. It sets forth, rather, God's dealing with men under the law. This is God's dealing with man under his government, not under grace. There is application for us in the New Testament age from this passage, to be sure, particularly with the reality of receiving or rejecting God and his message. There are three individuals that the watchman knows in this passage, that Ezekiel is aware of, and that God tells him to speak to. Letter A, he has the reality of those who repent, leaving their wickedness. That's a good thing. That's what every watchman and every pastor hopes for. This is wrong. This is right. You are doing this. Start doing this. And the person says, "Why halt I between two decisions?" And they depart the wickedness and choose the righteousness. That is pleasing to God and certainly very rewarding and satisfying for the pastor, for the watchman. Look at verses 14 through 16 if we continue reading. The idea of those who are repenting. "Again, when I say unto the wicked," verse 14, "thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life," or in the commandments of Moses, "without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live." Man, that is a clear picture of a changed life. I've always, when I read that in the margin of my Bible, I have written Zacchaeus. Because that's exactly what Zacchaeus did. He was a wicked man. And he meets Jesus up in that sycamore tree. And when he climbs down and Jesus comes to his house, when he leaves, Zacchaeus goes and returns to all the people that he's defrauded, four times the amount that he defrauded them of. He went and made restitution. He restored the pledge. He gave again those that he had robbed. This is the life of Zacchaeus, because he met the ultimate watchman, Jesus Christ. This is God's desired result of a warning from the watchman in verses 14 through 16. Friends, you cannot repent of your wickedness and stay in your wickedness. Right? That's the great lie of the modern church movement. It just isn't so. It's not even a fundamentalism thing. It's a Bible thing. Any church worth our salt, whatever denominational tag they hang on the back of them, it's a Bible thing. You cannot say, "I repent," in our age, dispensationally, "I'm sorry for my sin, please forgive me, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior." I can't do that and then say, "I'm just going to keep walking in my wickedness, I'll be right back with you, Lord." It just doesn't happen that way. It never has, it never will. You're a liar. And the truth is not in you. Letter A, those who repent leave their wickedness. But letter B, the second individual in here, is actually never mentioned. He's just implied. Those who reject. In other words, we find two groups of people: the wicked who repent to doing righteous, and the righteous who do not, or do sinfully and end up in a wicked state. But we don't find those who are wicked and stay wicked. They're just implied here. These are the rejectors. By the way, as a pastor, there's many doors I've knocked on in the years past. There's many individuals I've had conversations with out in the community, some even here on a Sunday morning. And they are wicked when they come into my presence and then wicked when I counsel them from the Word of God. And when they depart, they're still wicked. Right? That is just a case or a situation of those who reject. And so letter B, I don't need to preach long on that. That's pretty obvious. It's implied from this passage of Scripture. This is what is implied when he says, if the watchman warns and nobody listens, they're responsible for their own iniquity. But then we come to letter C. Those who resist, believing their own self-righteousness. You ever met somebody like that? Yeah. Amen, preacher. Amen. Hallelujah. You come get us. You bring down some thunder from heaven today, preacher. Yes, sir. I'm not suggesting those churches alone are the ones that are wrong. I'm saying there's a lot of churches that will, amen, hallelujah, fit themselves into a frenzy, and then they'll go out the back door spitting, cussing, chewing, and drinking. And you look at that and you go, well, that you're just resisting the Holy Spirit. Well, you didn't really mean anything you just said inside. You say, well, do we find that in this passage? Oh, buddy, do we find it in this passage. Look in verse 13. In fact, I would argue this might be the whole purpose of the watchman. Verse 13, when I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Verse 17, yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. How dare God forgive that wicked guy over there? But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. God said the rules are clear. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you, everyone after his ways. You get a sense in the rebuttal that is given in verse number 17 from the house of Israel. We don't like the way you're doing it, God. We like you, but we don't like the way you're expecting me to live. This isn't fair. It's not what I want. These are the three realities that every watchman must face. I feel like tonight I'm probably just preaching more at me. You guys are just like a sidebar to a conversation in my own head. You're welcome. Takes us to number three. What is then our relation to the watchman here? That's what he comes to at the end of verses 21 to 33. So what effect does this all have on us in the New Testament? I mean, after all, this is Old Testament prophet. This is Old Testament dispensation. It's under the law. We're under the blood, Pastor. Well, I'm glad you said that. In verses 21-22, he sets the scene that it seems to have moved forward a little bit in time to the 12th year of the captivity. We pick up our reading then in verse number 25. God is speaking to Ezekiel, and he says, wherefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, ye eat with blood, and lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood, and shall ye possess the land? By the way, as a New Testament saint, you could read those same words and finish by saying, shall ye possess the life that God has given you? Are you really going to have a full possession? That doesn't mean you're not saved. He's saying here, you're not going to have ownership of it. You're not going to have a fulfillment in it. Ye stand upon your sword. By the way, it's much better to stand upon his sword. Ye work abomination. Ye defile everyone his neighbor's wife. Shall ye possess the land? Say thou thus unto them, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely they that are in the wastes shall fall by the sword. And him that is in the open field will I give to the beast to be devoured. And they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. He's describing how they will come to their end, no matter what they trust in. Verse 28, for I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease. You ever met a Christian that used to be a great Christian that's not a very good Christian anymore? They've been saying but not doing. And Ezekiel's going to get to that, or God, I should say, is going to get to that in just a minute. None shall pass through, he says at the end of verse 28. Then shall they know that I am the Lord when I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. When it says it's speaking against him, it doesn't mean that they're in opposition to him. It just means that they're stirred up by his words. By the way, I'm sure there's a lot of people that leave Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night when the preaching is done well here, speaking a lot about those words. But talking about the words isn't doing the word. And they come unto thee as people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Well, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song. Man, I just love my pastor. I love the way he preaches. Oh, it's so wonderful. Do you do anything your pastor preaches? I hope on a Wednesday night the answer is yes. I'm just speaking preachatorically here, right? It's a made-up word. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. I love this next verse. It's probably one of the greatest in the Bible. And when this cometh to pass, and it will come to pass, the parenthesis says, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. What is our relationship to a watchman? Well, our first relationship to the watchman that is given here, whether it's the pastor in the pulpit or the people in the pew, our relationship to the watchman here is, letter A, we declare the gospel. Now, Ezekiel was not declaring the gospel, but we might argue he was declaring some good news. And that was, if you will turn from your wickedness unto the righteousness that is found for him in the law and for us in Christ, if you will turn unto that, you will be saved. Your soul will be saved. That's the essence of salvation. We are watchmen confirming God's message of salvation in our present age. This message for Ezekiel is not a direct appeal to our day. It is, however, indicative of how men operate in response to God's message of repentance and life. Israel said they loved God and did not obey. They were wiped off the face of the earth because they left God's protection and provision. It makes sense then what the writer of Hebrews would later say, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And if he doesn't chasten you, he uses very strong language. You are a bastard. That means you are not a legitimate son or daughter of that family. You're a fraud. You're making believe that you're okay with God, and you know all along you're not. In our dispensation, we declare the good news that God's grace has been manifested to all men. Receiving Christ means exchanging our life for His life, our agenda for His purpose. Ezekiel never intended to be a prophet, but God called him to declare His message to those in need. The same goes for us. Harry Ironside once said of this whole passage, there is surely a very solemn lesson for all of us here who know the danger to which this poor, godless world is exposed. We are called upon by God to seek to arouse men to flee from the wrath to come. If they refuse to take warning, we have delivered our souls. But if, knowing that the judgment of God is against all who do evil, we fail to sound the trumpet of alarm, and men and women are left to die in their sins, there will be a solemn reckoning for us at that judgment seat of Christ. Paul was able to say in addressing the Ephesians, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, in Acts 20 and verse 26. Ironside concludes, so faithful had he been given had he been in giving the message that the responsibility was thrown entirely upon his hearers to respond, not on Paul, for he had declared it unto them. I would note we would do well to emulate Ezekiel and Paul's response. We declare the gospel, but letter B, we do good. Heaven help us in relation to the watchman here, that we would hear there's trouble and keep on walking. I do not preach for my blood pressure. I do not preach for my health and vitality. I preach, honestly, because I feel compelled to deliver a message on that Sunday morning, that Sunday evening, that Wednesday evening, that opportunity where I stand before people and teach and preach the Word of God. I feel a compulsion. Woe is me, Paul said, if I preach not the gospel. That's the role of a watchman. So our relation to the watchman is, do good. It says twice here that they hear the words, but they don't do them. Boy, that sounds like James, doesn't it? What James said. It sounds like what John wrote in 1 John as well. The problem for the people is found there in verses 30 through 32. Finally, this evening, we delight in God. By fulfilling our calling, we prove that we love God. We delight to do His will. Verse number 9 says, we deliver our soul. In verse number 33, we find Ezekiel as a watchman said that it is said that they know there is a prophet among them. Ezekiel understood his purpose and embraced it. He delivered his soul, and the people knew the value and purpose of his life. So in closing tonight, Ezekiel's calling is right up there with Isaiah's conviction for me and Jeremiah's confession when it comes to the greatest chapters in the Bible. I hope we share in the responsibility as watchmen for our community. Tonight, I do wonder, in this crowd of our size, probably 40 or 45 in here on this Wednesday night, others out working in ministry, if we could have 9 people, I don't mean one person take 9, but 9 different people on the walkout, stop by the credenza and pick up one welcome wagon visit. You could do it on your way home tonight. You could do it on your way to church on Sunday, on your way home from church on Sunday afternoon. You could do it conveniently. Edward has not selected any of the visits on the far side of Egypt. He has picked them relatively close to the church. You say, well, you guys seem to harp on this a lot. We're watchmen. It's our job to make you, no, to warn you. If 9 people took it, 9 of them, it would take you less than 15 minutes. I mean, less time than it should take you to read your Bible in the morning. Well, speaking of that, Kyle, I haven't really been on top of that lately. Okay, well, it'll take you the same amount of time it will tomorrow to read your Bible. As to the whole of the message, we are the world's only hope. Amen. I've often been asked what took me out of the business world and the world that I was in as a contractor, and the answer is I saw, at that time, a bunch of young men who had no idea of direction or purpose. I was coaching them on a side on a soccer team, and I realized I enjoyed trying to teach them the truth that I had now started to earnestly learn and covet. Spiritually, that's a good thing. And I wanted to teach it to them, and then I wanted to teach it to a group of singles, and then I wanted to come and plant a church, and it's what I enjoy doing. I recognize that this book and this body are the only hope for the world. That's it. And as a watchman, I enjoy seeing other watchmen go out and simply hand out the truth. As a pastor, it's my job to sound out the truth, gathering after gathering. And as members, it is your job to carry the truth through your words and your deeds, according to this passage, out into the world in which you walk. Father, help us as we close our thoughts this evening. I thank you for the power and the purpose of the Word of God. We can see in Ezekiel's calling, 3 times he was told what he was supposed to do. And he accomplished it. He did what you asked. I often wonder, when we get to heaven, one of my questions I plan to ask you and to ask him is, how many people reading his prophecy and souls, I might say, did he deliver? As a watchman, what was the fruit or the product of his work? I'm sure it was immense. Lord, I pray that you will help us to understand where we stand on the wall and how we give warning to those in need. May I and Zach, the pastors of this place, the staff, the deacons, the life stage directors, the Sunday school teachers, any person that stands and declares truth before others, may we always be worthy watchmen living to our calling. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.